Throughout Matthew's gospel, Jesus and his disciples proclaim the good news that the kingdom of heaven is near. Here, Jesus offers several brief parables that explore the implications of this announcement for people's lives. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets and threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? The disciples answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from our fermenter, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I am a beer brewer. Now, I know some of you know that, especially those on the call committee, because that was one of the first things I revealed about myself in the interviewing process. It's been 2 years, so it's too late to redact that one. But anyways, so I'm a beer brewer. It's a hobby that I picked up while in seminary, believe it or not. And while it has been a few years since I brewed my last batch, it's something that I really enjoy. For me, it's a social hobby to gather with other brewers or friends who are curious about the process to craft and create something new. Beginning for me was taking these pre-made kits with instructions and following the directions, a recipe, if you will, to getting a little bit braver and swapping out different types of grains and hops and everything else to really create a unique substance. And I think, too, in the creative process is coming up with a name of that. I myself am not that creative, but I have a dear friend in Southern Illinois who I think this is one of his spiritual gifts, is the ability to name beers. it's this enjoyable process that at the end rewards fruit, rewards suds of a product that you can enjoy, but not right away because it is a timely process. And depending on what type of a beer that I've brewed, it can take anywhere of 2 or more months before you can enjoy that. When we look at the history of brewing beer, today's sanitation standard has changed the way it used to be done. Today, it is very controlled process in which sanitation is the first commandment, if you will. But back in the olden days, when brewing a beer, especially a sour, they were left in open containers so that the air it had access to air initially in this process before they sealed it off. And the reason they did this is because there were natural or wild yeasts in the air that would come and get into this wort, this batch of what has been brewed. And it would begin to activate the brewing process. The yeast would get into the wort and seek after the sugars, turning them into alcohol and carbon dioxide. And it didn't take a lot of yeast. Just a little bit would go a long ways in a batch. Yeast is one of the six images we see or hear in today's gospel lesson, images of the kingdom of God. And in chapter 13 here, what we've been studying the last, this will make the third week, it's one of eight images for the kingdom of God. But let me read you again verse 33, this section on yeast. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with three measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Now, like beer, in dough, yeast quickly multiplies and activates this fermenting process that causes dough to rise. In this batch that the parable is telling us, there are three measures, which would equate to about 50 pounds of flour, capable of making more than 100 loaves of bread. And again, only a small amount of yeast would be needed to permeate throughout these 50 pounds of dough. Yeast is a small microscopic organism that reproduces and devours, creating tiny chemical breakdowns along the way that result in visible transformation of risen bread dough. This is an image Jesus likens to the kingdom of heaven. An invasive, nearly invisible fungus, because yeast is a fungus, taking existing compounds and transforming them into a new, bubbly, and intoxicating product. This inbreaking of God's reign starts as a single cell organism, multiplying until it has infected the entire batch. Brothers and sisters, I believe the same thing happens through the sharing of the good news of Jesus Christ. And we see it too also through the acts of good works, the bearing of good fruits done to the glory of God. And we see these in very simple acts, such as the blessing of a child, simply saying, "Jesus loves you, and so do I." That's my blessing for Noah every night. So he's listening, see? These little seeds, yeast. It's also like sitting at a stoplight and seeing someone there who is in need and asking them their name, trying to understand their story. Someone who's down on their luck, just looking for a few bucks for food or booze, who cares? They're in need. And asking for a handout. But to take that initiative, to tell them they are important, they are worthy, they have dignity, they are a beloved child of God. Just to ask them their name. What is your story? Just yesterday, sitting at the stoplight outside Home Depot, I met a gentleman. He had no idea who I was, no clue that I was a pastor. And he witnessed to me about the love in Christ Jesus. He witnessed to me. These simple words of the good news, these simple acts done to love one's neighbor, is all that it takes to start the chemical reaction that is the kingdom of heaven. And brothers and sisters, here's what I think is even greater about this image of yeast. Yeast, as I stated earlier, naturally occurs in the environment around us. It doesn't have to be added in or forced in. It's naturally there. It's part of who we are. It's part of the world around us. And the thing is, yeast is greedy. It seeks out those sugars to devour them. And I believe this is how God's Spirit works in bringing about the heavenly kingdom here and now. God is present everywhere. Anytime a sweet granule of gospel is shared, the Spirit swoops in transforming the moment into something new, bubbling over with indescribable joy, comfort, or peace. That is God's grace. The kingdom of heaven is all around us, surrounding us, seeking out those sweet fruits of the word and good deeds, getting busy immediately, doing its transformative work. Despite the pains, the sorrows, the things we hear and see, just like Paul's talking about in our Romans lesson here, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing, nothing separates us from that love. And when we hear that good news, when that good news is interjected into the world, the kingdom begins its work. And we may not see it instantaneously. Results, fermenting is a process that takes time. Sometimes a very long time. But that's okay. Because the kingdom yeast works with everything. It doesn't rely on our abilities to get it right. All it needs is the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus, the one who came to welcome everyone into his fold. And in his death, resurrection, and ascension, he forever transformed death so we might live. Unconditionally interceding on our behalf, making us right with God despite ourselves. Jesus is there in our daily highs and lows. He's present in our joys and our sorrows, transforming them into new light that is God for us. The yeast of Jesus shows up in the Holy Supper, ordinary bread and wine, transformed into Christ's own body and blood. A transformed meal that transforms us also, nourishing and filling us with God's love. Brothers and sisters, kingdom yeast is at work. And it's doing marvelous things. At a microscopic level, it's at work, it's transforming, and it's making something new. Amen.